Hello and welcome to Tantrum Hour Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We are broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship, first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, July 26th. Coming up on today's show, as the Nova Scotia election presses on across the Chignecto Isthmus, journalist Bruce Work takes a look at the Elizabeth Smith McCrossin campaign in Cumberland North. And we take a listen to what Premier Blaine Higgs had to say about the expected reaction from other provinces as New Brunswick prepares to get rid of all COVID-19 restrictions on July 31st. But first, here's some other local news and information. The Corner Drugstore is hosting a walk-in Moderna clinic today at its shop on York and Main. The pharmacy will host two more walk-in clinics this week, offering the Pfizer vaccine on Tuesday and Saturday. In addition, pharmacist Charles Beaver says that anyone looking for a dose 1 or a time-sensitive dose 2 can be accommodated any day this week if they call the Corner Drug at 536-2255 to make an appointment. In the past week, the province clocked past over 1 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines administered. The rollout slowed down slightly over the last week with just over 50,000 shots given. Just over 57% of the population has had two doses of a vaccine, and 78% has had at least one. Those numbers go up to 64% and 81% when not counting children under 12 who are still not eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine. The town of Sackville awarded its 2021 Volunteer Recognition Awards to three local residents in June. Dr. Harold Popma was recognized for more than 25 years of service, and Alexa Estabrooks and Justin Smith both received the Titan Achievement Award. Harold Popma is a veteran family and geriatric care physician known to be caring, understanding, patient, and fun. Popma has volunteered with Tantramar Seniors College, Nursing Homes Without Walls, and for years was co-chair of Sackville's Walk for Alzheimer's. He has also been a key supporter, promoter, and speaker for the Memory Cafe and has served on the Age Friendly Committee. Popma is also an avid gardener and since 2010 has played an ongoing role in the design, creation, and maintenance of the public garden in Sackville's Memorial Park. This year, the town of Sackville recognized Popma for over 25 years of volunteer service to the community. Alexa Estabrooks is one of two recipients of the Titan Achievement Award. Estabrooks started her volunteering career back in elementary school in the Breakfast Club program and then went on to coach with Sackville Minor Hockey with a focus on supporting and inspiring young female players. In addition to her hockey coaching, Estabrooks has helped out with charitable initiatives such as the Dragon Boat for Sick Kids initiative. Justin Smith also received the Titan Achievement Award. In addition to being a member of Student Council for 3 years, Smith is an active volunteer coach with the Sackville Minor Football and Football New Brunswick. When the pandemic meant that parents and fans were not able to see Titan sporting events in person, Smith set up live streaming for those events, reconnecting the community with its high school sports teams. All public health restrictions to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 in New Brunswick will come to an end this Friday, July 30th at midnight. Premier Blaine Higgs made the announcement Friday afternoon.
Today is a day we've all been looking forward to, and I'm sure it's one that I will always remember. This morning, Cabinet and the All-Party Cabinet Committee on COVID-19 agreed that New Brunswick's mandatory order will not be renewed on July 30th.
Originally, the province's recovery plan set August 2nd as the planned date for lifting the mandatory order, as long as 75% of eligible New Brunswickers had received two doses of a COVID-19 vaccine by then. As of Sunday, another 74,000 people need to receive a second shot before that original target is hit. That's likely more than a week away, going by past rates of vaccinations. In his message Friday, Higgs focused on the growing rate of first doses in New Brunswick and said the second dose rate would be high enough by July 30th to mitigate the risks of lifting all restrictions.
We came to this decision because we have surpassed our first goal of 75% of eligible population getting their first vaccine and are now at 81%. In addition, by the end of next week, the percentage of eligible New Brunswickers vaccinated with the second dose will be sufficient to balance out many of the current risk of living with COVID-19 while we continue to strive to immunize as many New Brunswickers as possible.
Chief Medical Officer of Health Jennifer Russell agreed and told reporters that the targets haven't changed, though the timeline for the mandatory order has.
There's been no change in the science in terms of wanting to get as many people vaccinated as possible. And so based on the science, that hasn't changed in terms of what we would like to achieve and accomplish in the coming weeks. Does the mandatory order need to be in place to achieve that? I don't think so.
Russell said the example of places elsewhere in the country that have lifted restrictions is helping inform the decision by New Brunswick.
We have seen in other jurisdictions, such as places like Alberta, where they lifted their restrictions when they were at 70% of first doses and 38.2% of their second dose. And since then, they've continued to increase their vaccination rates, and they definitely are not seeing, they're continuing to see their case numbers go down and their hospitalization rates go down. So they're trending in the right direction. And the other thing is that because we are being vaccinated, we're probably one of the top provinces in the country right now in terms of our vaccination rates, but we're getting to more of an equal playing field in terms of the vaccination rates of the population across the country. So definitely domestic travel and those types of risks are being equalized at this moment in time because of our high vaccination rates in the entire country.
When asked about assurances from neighboring provinces regarding their border restrictions with New Brunswick, Premier Higgs had this to say.
Well, I'm sure this week we'll give them time to react in any way they think is appropriate. However, they did not give us any indication that they would be making any changes to reinforce or enhance restrictions in any way. So I think they will be monitoring their activities in their own province, which they are doing, and make a decision themselves in the coming weeks about their next step. Because that's more of the indication that we received, is that they too want to move along this area, and they too are watching what's going on in the rest of Canada, the vaccination levels, and what's happening in each province as provinces have opened up. So I would see them to actually move forward to do very little change at this stage, and to in the coming week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to actually start to reduce their restrictions. But obviously that's their call. And obviously, but they did not share any concerns with us.
That was Premier Blaine Higgs speaking on Friday. Political observers across the Maritimes are watching the Nova Scotia riding of Cumberland North to see if the incumbent can win re-election after being dumped by her party. Elizabeth Smith McCrossan won the riding for the Progressive Conservatives in 2017. After PC leader Tim Houston expelled her from the party for her role in blocking the Trans-Canada Highway to protest against COVID border restrictions, Smith McCrossan is running as an independent candidate in the provincial election being held on August the 17th. Her opponents include the veteran Member of Parliament Bill Casey, who is running for the provincial Liberals, and the NDP's Lauren Scabbar, daughter of former MLA Brian Scabbar. CHMA will be covering all the candidates in Cumberland North. Today's report by journalist Bruce Wark looks at the Elizabeth Smith McCrossan campaign.
Good morning, Elizabeth Smith McCrossan's campaign headquarters.
11 o'clock on a Friday morning, and Elizabeth Smith McCrossan's campaign office in downtown Amherst is a busy place. The phone rings as donors with checks and $100 bills come through the front door. Some ask for lawn signs to support Smith McCrossan, who won the riding of Cumberland North for Nova Scotia's Progressive Conservatives 4 years ago with more than 50% of the vote. But last month, provincial PC leader Tim Houston expelled her from the party. And as we begin to talk at the back of the busy campaign office, I ask Smith McCrossan why she decided to run anyway, this time as an independent candidate.
I was contacted by hundreds of people. Maybe even over 1,000 people through email, through Facebook, through phone calls, encouraging me to run, asking me to continue to stand up for the people of Cumberland North. So I spent some time with my family and close friends, and we talked about the pros and the cons, and we made a decision to run as an independent.
Why do you think you had that reaction from people calling on you to run?
I think people have seen politics move away from true representation. And the culture of politics has become it's become more centralized. The power has become more centralized, and it's been removed from the people. And I think what people were sharing with me is that they were finally happy to see someone stand up for them and try to share their voices and their frustration from being ignored by the provincial government for really 16 months. Decisions were being made that impacted the lives of the people here. They were never consulted. Neither Premier McNeil or Rankin ever came here to our border community to sit down and understand the needs of the people and our unique needs and how we're so integrated with our neighbors in New Brunswick. And the anger just grew and grew.
Smith McCrossan says that anger boiled over on June 22nd when Nova Scotia Premier Ian Rankin announced that restrictions at the New Brunswick border would not be lifted the next day after all. The announcement shocked people who were planning to reunite with their families in New Brunswick after months of separation. So Smith McCrossan posted a video on Facebook giving Rankin an ultimatum: either change his mind about maintaining the border restrictions by 4 p.m. that day, or the Trans-Canada Highway would be shut down at Thompson Station, exit 7, about 30 minutes from the border.
I arrived there at about 4:30. There was probably 30 cars around Thompson Station there when I arrived, and RCMP were present. They ensured safety. And the RCMP also assured me, as MLA, that it was a legal, peaceful protest, and because they were able to ensure people could get around, they were rerouting traffic. As well, the protesters, as angry as they were allowing vehicles through that had children, that had elderly people, if there was one person that was a diabetic. So the protesters were upset, and they wanted to send Premier Rankin a message, and I think they did, but they were letting people through that needed to get through. So that's where I was on Tuesday, June 22nd. As the evening was going on and I had made several phone calls to Premier Rankin, it became very apparent that he was not going to listen to the people and he wasn't willing to speak with me on behalf of the people. So I spoke with RCMP and then I spoke with the people and I asked, would people be willing to go home and knowing that I was willing to go to Halifax early the next morning and asked to meet with the Premier face-to-face on their behalf to share their concerns. And almost all people did. It was around 9 or 9:30, Global, CBC, there were several news medias there. They recorded and videotaped the whole speech. They even did an interview with me after asking why would I ask people to go home. And I believe, you know, I was concerned about safety. It was getting dark. And it was apparent that the Premier had made a decision. He wasn't going to listen.
So Smith McCrossan got up at 5:30 the next morning and drove to One Government Place in downtown Halifax. That's the building that houses the Premier's office, but Ian Rankin wasn't there. She spent all day waiting for him, but he never showed. Meanwhile, back in Cumberland North, all hell was breaking loose as protesters shut down traffic at the New Brunswick border. Smith McCrossan says that twice that day she called for the protesters to open the highway and spoke to some of them by phone, but the blockade continued, disrupting the flow of medical supplies and giving a platform to anti-vaxxers opposed to the COVID-19 vaccines. Smith McCrossan says that even though she wasn't at the border protest and didn't organize or support it, she understands how the anger that led to it built up over a very long time.
Before the June 23rd border blockade, the people that had set that up, they had been protesting every Sunday there for 8 weeks before that and had shut down the border, the highway, on three different occasions, trying to get Rankin to listen to them. trying to get someone from the government to pay attention. And not only he chose to ignore that, but media never covered it. And so it's been very frustrating for the people here. I mean, nobody shuts down a highway unless they're at a point of frustration. And why would you have grandmothers and business owners standing on a highway protesting? It didn't just happen. Someone didn't just flick a switch on. It was escalating for months, and the frustration just grew and grew and grew. And on June 22nd, when we saw yet again another flip-flop, people just were outraged.
Smith McRossin's decision to call for the highway protest at Highway Exit 7 and her refusal to condemn those who shut down the border the next day may have cost her support from the PC party, but she's clearly hoping that voters in Cumberland North will back her now because she supported them during the pandemic. She says she wants to return to the legislature as an independent to continue working on big issues, including fixing problems in local health care, problems such as a shortage of family doctors and the need to recruit more nurses.
The very first thing that governments need to do is they need to focus on a strong recruitment plan. Now, I'm going to share a little story with you. My husband is a family physician, and I'm a registered nurse. And when we first started practicing, we were drowning in debt, drowning. And we moved to the South Shore of Nova Scotia. And it was during what's called, in healthcare, we call them the Savage Days. Premier Savage at the time made huge healthcare cuts. And my husband and I looked at each other and said, how are we going to ever pay off the hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt we had from going to university to become a doctor and a nurse? And we were recruited. And I'm just sharing this with you because it worked. We were recruited. We would receive 5 phone calls a day for months from recruiters from the States selling us all the reasons why we needed to move there. And things got so bad here that we made a decision to go there. We went to Wisconsin, and we went with a very purposeful intent to pay off our debt. And we made an agreement with each other that as soon as that debt was paid off from our student loans, we were coming home. And we did that. We lived very frugally, and within 21 months, we had our debt paid off. But I share that story because if you have a strong recruitment strategy, you can recruit. Remember, you're competing the world over for these healthcare professionals. But the first step is you need to have a strong recruitment plan. And then the second step is you need to retain people. So I'll give you an example. Today, as I'm speaking with you, the nurses at our hospital up here are completely short-staffed. They're so stressed. They're not even sure if they're going to be able to keep the units open because they do not have enough nurses to do so. So the nurses that are working there can hardly survive because they're drowning. So when you don't recruit properly, you can't retain because people can only work in those type of stressful conditions for so long, and then they're off on sick leave or they decide to choose a different career, one that's not so stressful. So with every problem, there is a solution. And I am working on a solution with physicians right now with a local group of business people. 20 years ago, my very first business was a physician management company. And I started that kind of out of necessity. We came back from Wisconsin and there was a shortage of physicians here in Amherst. And I could see how hard it was for my husband working short-staffed that I started this company. Within about a 5-year period, we've recruited around 11 or 12 physicians here to the Amherst area. And I worked very closely with businessman Sean Chevery and opened a Amherst Family Health Clinic inside the PharmaSave. We had an evening after-hours clinic as well. And that happened because we made a very purposeful goal and we went out there and we recruited. And what I'm seeing in government right now is they just don't have that. They just don't have a strong recruitment effort plan. So fast forward to present day, I approached 6 business people about two or three months ago and asked them if they would help me to once again offer these physician management services as an additional recruitment tool. And they all said yes. and they've formed a nonprofit society and are currently working on building a clinic space area that they can offer to a physician to come here. Basically, it's turnkey. So all the physician has to do is focus on practicing medicine. And that's what most physicians want to do.
Elizabeth Smith McCrossin's other ideas for fixing health care, reducing poverty, and stimulating business activity are outlined in her 19-page campaign platform. It calls for removal of all tolls on the Trans-Canada Highway. I asked her what she thinks of Premier Rankin's recent promise to lift some tolls, the ones that affect passenger vehicles with Nova Scotia plates.
My reaction is, I think it's embarrassing to the people here. The tolls were legally supposed to be removed in 2019. The debt was supposed to be paid. If you look back at the financials and the data, it clearly states in the 2015 financial statements, it clearly states the debt will be paid in 2019. And if you look at legislation, which is what I'm supposed to do in my job, the Western Alignment Act clearly states once the debt is paid, the tolls are to be removed. But what the Liberals did is they played around with it. They re-amortized the debt, so it's not going to be paid off until 2026. And if you look at the financial statements, there's over $85 million sitting in cash assets for that corporation. There is debt still owed, but it's $20 million. So they could literally pay off that debt today and have $65 million in excess of cash. But they're choosing not to keep the tolls on the backs of the people here. So they made the same announcement in 2017. They were going to remove them for the residential traffic. They never did it. So why would people believe them now? It's embarrassing for me. And also, I've said very clearly is that the tolls need to be removed complete based on legislation. And they need to be removed for all people in Cumberland, not just residential, but commercial. So all of our business people here, we're the largest suppliers of lumber, for example, in all of Nova Scotia, blueberries, salt, and we also supply lobster, as well as all of our manufacturing goods. So all of our exports that are going to the Halifax port or the Halifax International Airport are trucked, and all of those trucks have to pay a tax that the same business owner in the South Shore or Cape Breton or Halifax are not paying. And that is an expense that comes off the profit margin for all of our Cumberland County businesses. And it's unfair and it's wrong.
Good morning, Elizabeth Smith McCrossin's campaign headquarters.
The voice you hear in the background answering Hello. The phone belongs to Elizabeth Smith McCrossin's campaign office manager, Gladys Kosh.
I've been here for a while, and you've been pretty busy this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Busy every morning since we opened, all day long, till actually 9 o'clock in the evenings.
What does that tell you?
It tells us that there's an overwhelming support in this constituency for Elizabeth. As you saw earlier today, people coming in with donations, the phones ringing, people dropping in for signs. It's been consistently like that since we've opened the doors.
For CHMA News, this is Bruce Wark reporting.
Many thanks to Bruce Wark for that report. That's it for CHMA's Tantrum Hour Report for this Monday, July 26th. As always, for story ideas, tips, or feedback, contact us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.